Well, good afternoon. Thank you for thanks for taking some time to join me for the Chapel of Divine Mercy. Always a delight to be here with you. Hey, I want to start off today by praying in a particular way for Father Richard Simon. I got a really beautiful text from him the other day. I'll see if I can pull it up while I talk to you here. And he just wanted me to express how grateful he is for your prayers. He says to me here, he says, "I'm so grateful for all the prayers, and I'm asking everyone to please continue. This will take a month or two to get over." He says, "But I'm still making progress, and I'm so humbled and grateful by the outpouring of your prayer and concern." He says, "The Lord is good." So he is a humble priest who is humbly suffering. He's suffering in a big time way, but I know you still hear some of his broadcasts on the air here. We need to get him back live, right? I mean, they're evergreen. You can listen to Father Simon all day, and they're always inspiring and wonderful, but please pray for him. He misses being with you on a daily basis, and he needs God's divine touch. He needs that healing touch to restore him to complete health and to vitality. So, Father, we are praying for you. I want to send a shout-out to Steve and Claire Faulkner. I had the great privilege of hanging out with them yesterday, and I'm praying for both of you and your family and for your parents and everyone else. So I had a wonderful day the other day, and I want to pray for, you know, all of our friends. I want to pray for our family. Let's pray also for you and whatever your intentions are. I know a lot of heavy intentions that are out there. I'll share one that came in over the weekend. But first, let me welcome Maggie to the conversation. She is on the other side of the glass, and she is praying with me here every day. You can get your intention to her by simply going to our Twitter page or our X account and send her a post at Drew Mariani Show, at Drew Mariani Show. Follow me also at Drew Mariani. That'd be great. It's my personal Twitter. And of course, on social media, if you're watching right now on YouTube or on Facebook, leave those intentions there. Maggie will try to give some voice to them. Anything you want to start off with, Maggie? Anything you want to pray for before we begin?
There is a special intention I want to lift up. The last couple of weeks, you probably remember we've been praying for a young woman that was missing. Her name was Noelle Lynch.
Yeah.
And she's actually the daughter of one of our listeners who has written to us many times.
Small
praying,
world.
Praying for this daughter. Kelly sent me a message this weekend, and she said, "Maggie, can you please share this with Drew and all of your listeners that prayers are still urgently needed in locating my daughter, Noelle? There's been some sort of confusion, and I just want to clarify that she has contacted us, but we have been unable to locate her. The police are no longer looking for her because she made contact, but we still have no idea her whereabouts."
Do we know what happened in that contact? Is there something nefarious where somebody's putting her up to this?
I don't know, but she says she needs medical attention. I think she takes medications for certain things. So she says she needs medical attention, and we just want to know that she's safe. Please continue to pray for her safe return home and for her healing. So prayer family, let's get on it.
Amen. And God hears these prayers all the time. And we'll ask for some moments of lucidity and for reconnection. Let me share one last prayer intention, then I'll take yours. This one came in over the weekend. My heart goes out to this mother. She says, "Please pray for our almost 40-year-old daughter who's been married 14 years, and she's living a double life. They have no children. She asked her husband for an open marriage with other partners."
Oh, no.
"Both male and female."
No, no, no.
"And she refers to those partners as her support group." Oh, man.
Oh, boy.
"Our son-in-law is going to file for divorce in August, to my understanding. And there is a one-year waiting period in that state before anything can happen." My heart goes out to this mother. How difficult, you know, how difficult for this whole family. You see this behavior. She says, "Our daughter was raised Catholic, went to Catholic schools. This is a big catch for Satan," the mother writes. "She was scheduled to graduate with her doctorate in June and landed a job at Northwestern University. The three colleges she attended are all extremely liberal with a large LGBTQ plus student body presence. She left the faith, fell into the awful trap in her freshman year of college. She continued dating boys, but apparently became interested in women." I won't go through all the details, but you know, I want to, on this particular point, stop and you know, make sure you know where you are sending your kids to college or to university. And if you can send them to a good Catholic university, and nothing is perfect, but you may not get some of this radical ideology that so many young kids who are so vulnerable are infected by. The parent says, we're heartsick. Our son-in-law is battling now severe depression. And we have increased our prayers and attend daily mass, and we've entrusted the situation to God and the Holy Family. And there's been a great outpouring of prayer for our son-in-law and for her so-called support group, most of whom are in open marriages. I believe there's a demonic element here. Thank you for your prayers. We also have a 37-year-old single son who she goes through just praying for marriage. Anyway, let's pray for this family. I won't go through all the details of the email. It was a long email, but my heart broke for this broken family, and I know they're not alone. If you have dysfunction in your family, if there is sexual disorientation, if there's other issues, broken marriages, let's bring them to the Lord right now. Lord, I give you this family, and I give you the hearts of everyone who's now crying out to you as we begin this beautiful prayer, invoking your mercy in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. We'll take our first call today from Waukesha, Wisconsin. Hi, Sandy. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Thanks for taking my call. I'm asking for prayers for my mom. She deals with debilitating tinnitus, the ringing in the ears. It gets so loud, and she has a lot of pressure. She gets headaches, off balance, and it's hard to see her like that.
Well, Sandy, your prayers are powerful, and we're going to join with you right now. You have your entire spiritual family here. I have a friend, and Cindy, if you're listening, I'm praying for you, who has tinnitus as well. And, boy, it's constant for her, and it can be debilitating, as you know, for your mom. So let's ask God for mercy. And, Lord, I give you these chronic ailments, these diseases, these problems. I give you those who have been suffering a long time with neuropathy and all sorts of other maladies. And Lord, they need reprieve. So today I ask for your healing touch. I ask for miracles of healing, that they may be reported in big numbers, and then many can rejoice in your mercy. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
And for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Dr. Robert is praying with us in Dyer, Indiana. Hi, Doc. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew and Maggie. I have some sadness to report. I'm born and raised in Chicago, and early Sunday morning, an officer, Louis Huesca, was parking in front of his house, and he was gunned down.
Yeah.
And his life was taken. He was only a young 30 years old,
yeah.
6 years on the force.
But they say he was 2 weeks away from his 31st birthday. I mean, a young guy.
Two days. Yes.
Yeah, it's tragic.
And he was an outstanding young man, I understand.
Yeah, it's so sad.
But just asking for prayers for his family.
Yeah, well, we'll lift up. I can't imagine what the family's going through. Yeah, and they're not sure what this case was, right? Whether it was a carjacking or whatever it was. They found him riddled with bullets, so.
Yeah, speculation is that it was a carjacking, but we don't know.
Well, let's pray. Hey, Doctor, thank you for your call. And I want to pray for you, too. It's always good to hear your voice. It's Dr. Robert there from Dyer. And you might have seen this story, as I did, on national news. Man sitting in his car. And is that we do not know the day or the hour. And Lord, I ask for mercy for all those you're calling home today. I want to ask mercy on the souls of those that we love that have gone before us, especially those who are in purgatory. And Lord, I pray for the hour of our own death, that you'll come as a merciful Savior. But I also want to pray in particular today for those who mourn. Death comes so unexpectedly, like a thief in the night. And so often, so many are devastated. And Lord, I just pray for your mercy to fill their hearts, to soothe that ache and to comfort them as I pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Before we go to our next call in Oak Forest, Illinois, Martha is waiting to pray with us. Let me jump over to Maggie. Maggie, thank you for keeping your eyes on so much. It's coming in from so many different platforms. What can we pray for?
It's a pleasure to pray for people. Carmel and Pat are praying for their grandson, Matthew, who's going to go before a judge on a serious legal matter tomorrow. They pray that whatever would be best and the most merciful outcome could be possible, they're praying for it. Jewel wrote to us. She said, please pray for my daughter, Kim. She's angry and lonely and unhappy, and she really needs a miracle. Victoria says, please pray for my mother's longtime friend, Bay, who was recently diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. Stevie, this was from Life News. Stevie says, every year on my daughter's birthday, I send cards to the three doctors who tried to talk me into aborting her before she was born.
Oh my gosh, what a beautiful thing to do.
They feared she may have been profoundly disabled, but she is not. I include pictures of her now running track.
Oh, praise God.
This will be the 15th card that they received. Wow. I hope it weighs on them, and I pray that they never give that advice again.
What a simple gesture, right?
Isn't that amazing?
But that would prick the conscience every year.
Totally.
And you're right. I bet that will bring about a conversion. We'll pray for the conversion of those in the culture of death. Speaking of those situations, we should be praying for Gabby too, right?
We're praying for Gabby and baby Joseph. I pray that baby Joseph, I pray that she can have the same news for baby Joseph.
Yeah, and Gabby is the producer for Morning Air. And Gabby, we're praying for you.
Yep. Cindy wrote to us. She said, I'm going with my daughter today to a fetal heart specialist. Please pray for healthy baby. Jesus, we trust in you. Jose says, Drew and Maggie, happy Easter. Okay. Prayer intentions. I pray for you and Maggie and everyone at Relevant Radio is amazing. I have some intentions for my workplace, for more work, for my family, for a big cup of prosperity and safety. Thank you. And lastly, Candace Owens just joined, officially entered the Catholic Church.
All right, Candace.
So I want to pray for her and her faith journey. She said, she said she's finally coming home.
Yeah. Should get her here on Relevant Radio.
We should
get her to broadcast. That's great. Well, you know what? You pursue the truth. Mm-hmm. If you look for, you know, the church that Christ established, and you've got questions, you know, check out the Catholic Church. And I tell you what, if you're intellectually open and you're receptive to whatever grace God wants to give you, I think you're going to find a lot of truth here. And so grateful for that. And I want to pray for the conversion of others who are discerning now, who are seeking. Let's pray for Jordan Peterson's conversion. I know his wife came into the church recently, but he's certainly not Catholic and yet a brilliant man. I want to pray for the enemies of the church. And I want to pray for those atheists and agnostics and those who persecute the faithful. We'll lift them up as well. Martha's in Oak Park, Forest, Illinois. Hi, Martha. Thank you for waiting.
Thank you, Drew. Thank you, Maggie and Relevant Radio, for taking my call. I'm calling for prayers of thanksgiving for Kelsey. I emailed you back in February. She was in a terrible car accident in Mexico where she was ejected and suffered head trauma. And she, my husband spoke to them on Friday, and she actually is a lot better, especially from her head trauma. She's still healing from her injuries to her body, but she's doing way, way better. And also thanked us for praying for her.
Well, we'll continue to pray for her for sure, for complete recovery, right? And I remember that story vividly. My own nephew, as I often shared, has had head trauma as a result of a car accident as well. He was in a convertible and miraculously recovered. Doctors call him a miracle. So we'll pray for that intention for you. But I think you also were calling at one point, weren't you, about, I think it was your sister's grandson that had autism. How's that shaking out?
Yes. And Eli is doing so much better. He is more engaged than he does. Before he didn't really like people hugging him, but he does now. He'll hug people and he'll kiss people goodbye and hello. So he is doing so much better. We still need prayers for him, but he's a whole lot better.
Well, let's pray for him. Go ahead, Martha.
One that I call it a miracle.
Okay.
Is my daughters. My daughters, Chris and Monica. My youngest daughter got married. My youngest daughter got married this weekend, and God blessed us with just their relationship was healed.
That's so
awesome. And I'm just so grateful and thankful.
Well, God bless you. Let's pray.
I just want to pray for two friends. One needs a liver. Donald, he's really in dire need for a liver. And Ephraim, who's suffering from cancer. And just for all those who are mourning death, my friend Margarita and her son. Thank you, Drew. I didn't mean to take up so much time.
It's okay, Martha. I understand it's a rare opportunity sometimes to get through, and we all have a heart full of intentions. I know I do, too. But congratulations. Those were tears of joy for you. And we thank you for the way you bless us. We thank you for the crosses you allow us to carry. Just give us the grace to always submit to your will. Give us the fortitude to carry those crosses and to see the fruits of our faithfulness. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we'll go to Rob next. He is in St. Cloud, Minnesota. Hi, Rob.
Hey, Drew. Thanks for taking my call and my petition. I'm calling for my father. He is in the process of passing here in the next 24 hours. So I just pray for final repentance, conversion, that our Lord and Savior will meet him as a merciful Savior, not a just judge.
I believe that.
And just for the grace of forgiveness for those other family members that struggle with unforgiveness. A bitter pill I struggle with myself at one time. Yeah. And that's all.
Hey, brother. Count on my deepest prayers for you and your whole family, but especially for your dad. When I leave the studio here today, I'll stop by our chapel and I'll pray for your father's soul in particular. It's hard to lose a parent, and my heart goes out to you. But you know the power of this prayer. I know that. That's why you're calling. And we will lift up your father. Diary entry 687. In St. Faustina's diary, she writes that whoever will recite the Chaplet of Divine Mercy will receive great mercy at the hour of death. And when they say this prayer, when they recite it in the presence of the dying, you can even do it at a distance, she says in another entry, that God stands between the dying person and God the Father, not as a just judge, but as a merciful Savior. I take such comfort in that. That God's not going to be a just judge, but he's going to be merciful in that final hour. I know we may have concerns about our parents or our siblings or our spouses or even our kids in their final moments. I'm a big believer in just trusting in the mercy of God, standing on the promise that the Lord gave to St. Faustina. And we should all be praying as much as we can for the dying. So let's lift up this family and all those right now who God is calling home as we pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, our next call comes from St. Cloud, Minnesota as well. Jim, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Drew. Thanks for taking my phone call. Yeah. Always a pleasure. The reason I'm calling is last Friday, my son is a physical therapist. He's 45, and when he was doing some therapy work on another patient, all of a sudden his muscles started twitching. And they have been kind of nonstop the last week. They did a brain scan last week, and they're going to do a neck scan here that's coming up. But he's really concerned as a physical therapist and be able to continue his livelihood, his profession. And again, obviously, he's concerned about grading his kids.
Yeah, no kidding. So did they rule out the neurological?
Not yet. No, okay. They're still working on that. So, yeah, it's one of those things that we pray that anyway.
Let's pray. Jim, hang in there. All right. Yeah, as a father, I'd feel, I'd be pretty stressed over my own son's condition, but let's put our trust in the Lord. I'm going to pray with you right now, and so is your spiritual family here, and we'll pray for quick recovery. This will be an anomaly, and doctors can determine what it is. Doriette, I hope I get her name right. She's in Philadelphia. Doriette, good afternoon.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. Thanks for calling.
Good. I'm calling to ask if you could pray for my daughter, Shyla,
okay,
for that God will change her heart, that God will remove her from all the negative friends and put the right positive friends around her as we approach these last 7 weeks of school, that she will have a clear mind and she will focus and she will pass all her classes and for favor with her situation on May 3rd. And the good news is God just blessed her with a part-time job, so that's
Amen.
A good thing.
Amen to that. Well, I am glad you're praying with us. Thank you so much for joining us. And we're going to lift your beautiful daughter up. I know God hears your prayers. You know, he hears the cry of a mother. And just keep praying. Don't stop trusting. All right? Let's put our faith in God. Let's trust the Lord, especially for your daughter. And, you know, being a mother or a father myself, you know, sometimes it takes a little while. You know, but don't fear what will happen tomorrow, right? Same loving father who cares for you today is going to care for you every day. And you know how much you love your daughter? He loves her all the more. Let's pray. And I give you, Lord, everyone who's on hold with me right now, all the intentions that are streaming in, all those who just need your mercy. I bring them before the cross of your Son. And Heavenly Father, I ask today you hear our prayers and you allow many answer prayers to unfold. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible. Look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady Queen of Heaven.
Pray for us.
Our Lady of Champion.
Pray for us.
Mother of Mercy.
Pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Pray for us.
Our Lady Reconciler of Peoples and Nations.
Pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful.
Pray for us.
Virgin Most Sorrowful.
Pray for us.
Saint Joseph.
Pray for us.
Saint Faustina.
Pray for us.
Saint John Paul II.
Pray for us.
Saint Peregrine.
Pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva.
Pray for us.
Saint Patrick.
Pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sapochko.
Pray for us.
All you angels and saints.
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And Saint Monica,
pray for us.
For all these mothers and fathers who are worried about their kids. We just ask for your mercy. I hope you'll stay with me. Today is Earth Day, right? And I was thinking about this. I'm thinking, you know, it has really become kind of an eco-idol today, right? A lot of people are worshiping Mother Earth, and they've kind of made this whole environmentalism kind of a religion. And believe me, we've got a duty as Catholics to be good stewards of the environment. Don't get me wrong on this. I want to talk about a proper Catholic perspective on the environment when we return. And then I'm going to share with you an email from a person I received. I read it over the weekend. This man's daughter has an appointment with a medium. This poor father lost his wife. She lost her mother about a year ago, and the daughter just cannot get over it and wants to speak to the mother. So she's going to talk to the medium. We'll get into that and a whole lot more. All that straight ahead when I return. If you can't listen to me on the radio and you are streaming me somewhere, relevantradio.com or download the mobile app, and you can get plugged in that way, okay? I'll be right back.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show.
Hey, today we'd like to thank Viviana, who's listening in California, for donating her 1975 Mercedes-Benz 450. You can join thousands of other listeners in donating old vehicles, trucks, boats, and RVs by visiting relevantradio.com/car. That's relevantradio.com/car.
I hope we didn't keep you waiting.
Mother Nature, welcome to Apple. How was the weather getting in?
The weather was however I wanted it to be. Let's cut to the chase. In 2020, you promised to bring Apple's entire carbon footprint to zero by 2030. This is my third corporate responsibility gig today, so who wants to disappoint me first?
Well, we've got some updates we're excited to share with you.
Materials, status.
Is there a materials person here?
Yes. We are in the process of eliminating all plastic from our packaging by the end.
Let me guess. 50 years from now, when someone else is left holding the bag?
By the end of next year, actually.
When we're also currently using 100% recycled aluminum in the enclosures of all our MacBooks, Apple TVs. We're also phasing out leather in our iPhone cases.
We're operating on 100% clean electricity.
What runs on 100% clean electricity?
Every Apple office, store, and data center runs on clean electricity, thanks to you and your powerful wind and sun.
And Apple offices are already carbon neutral.
Yeah. this building is carbon neutral?
Oh, yeah, we do it with a mix of clean energy and eliminating greenhouse emissions. It's kind of like if you were to...
You're seriously explaining carbon neutrality to Mother Nature?
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
That's a flashback, huh? You remember that? That was an ad for Apple. They came out with that cringy ad. I think it was this past year to show how much they're helping the environment. Right? Then they went and they made it look like Mother Nature and, you know, like as though she was some angry god. Like, I would have talked. Today's Earth Day. I don't know if you know that. You know, you may not know a whole lot about it either, right? Did you know, you ever wonder how the day came about? How did Earth Day take such prominence? Began April 22nd, 1970, when 20 million Americans, driven by a growing awareness of our planet's vulnerability, they mobilized to call for greater, protections for the planet. And I thought we could explore this a little bit. We do have a duty as Catholics, of course, to be good stewards of the environment, no doubt about it. But I think it has really, kind of morphed into almost an eco-religion, if you will, today. And in just a moment, Dr. Sam Shepard's going to be joining me. We'll get his take on this. Just a little history for you quickly. Back in 1970, this day was really made up out of thin air by a former Wisconsin senator named Gaylord Nelson, who saw humans basically as a plague on Earth. And he once said this to one of the local papers in that state, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He said this, quote, "The bigger the population gets, the more serious the problem becomes. We have to address the population issue. The United Nations and the U.S. supporting it took the position took the position in Cairo in 1994, and that every country was responsible for stabilizing its own population. It can be done. But in this country, it's phony to say I'm for the environment, but not for limiting immigration." End of quote. So for Nelson, just to give you some perspective, and many like him, the environment is more important than the people that it was created by God for. And of course, that doesn't mean that you can abuse the environment. You can't do that. But what does scripture tell us? If you go to Genesis 2:15, right? It says, God told us to subdue the earth. That's what we're doing. But you got to be a good steward of the environment. God placed Adam in the garden to till it, to keep it, according to Genesis. And, you know, that also has to be kept in balance. I think there's some tremendous abuses of nature. But I think we can go too far. Wesley J. Smith, who is just a very prolific writer, he has talked about how juridical rights have been given to rocks in South America and rivers and to places like that. Well, Utah has recently outlawed giving parts of nature legal personhood. So I just want to tip my hat to the state of Utah. Bravo to you. Just to make sure that no one, for instance, declares the Great Salt Lake, a legal entity. And that's what's happening in different places. Animals and nature are be giving rights and privileges that should be reserved for humans. So let's take a look at it. It's Earth Day. How do we as Catholics look at the environment? What should our duty and our role be? Can it go too far? Is there a good Catholic approach to the environment? Dr. Sam Shepard joins me today. Dr. Samuel Shepard, probably, maybe what he goes by. He's an associate professor of biology at Ave Maria University, AMU, and he's recently established a new minor in agriculture and Catholic environmental stewardship. You can check them out at Ave Maria. .edu, Maggie, was that it? AveMaria.edu. Hey, Dr. Shepard, good to have you with me today.
Yeah, it's lovely to be with you.
Your name sounded very familiar. We were talking about it in the studio. Sam Shepard, I think, played Chuck Yeager in the Right Stuff in that movie. So,
yeah, that's right. Yeah,
wasn't sure whether you go by Samuel or Sam, but it's good to have you. And thank you for what you're doing. You're a perfect guest to talk to about Earth Day, because we can get into how radical it's become, but give me a perspective. Help us to understand how Catholics should be marking Earth Day. Should we be doing it at all? Should we be ignoring it? Does the fact that it was started by somebody who saw humans as a plague on Earth mean anything? Break it down for us if you could.
Yeah, I think there's no doubt at all that we have been given an explicit responsibility by God to care for his garden. And I think the people who are more environmentally oriented, their concern is very legitimate, but I think they've just gone about it the wrong way, because they don't really understand what it is to be a human or what creation is. And I really like the way that Pope Francis phrases this in Laudato Si. He says, then instead of just being stewards of nature, we can be stewards of creation. And when we orient ourselves like that, we become part of what he called God's loving plan. So now we're in practical terms doing a lot of the same things, but we get caught up in this kind of transcendent process of salvation history, which makes it really beautiful and sanctifies it.
Yeah. So you quote of Pope Francis in Laudato Si, he urged everyone to see the environment and the care for it as an integral part of our faith. And maybe you can expand on that. He said this one line. I was reading him just the other day, and he said that the earth, our home, is beginning to look more and more like an immense pile of filth. And that, to me, was a very strong statement. It calls us not just to act, but really to reflect deeply on lifestyle and impacts. Pope Francis has a very strong view on this. I don't know how other popes have viewed it or what other documents have come out of the church, but that encyclical Laudato Si also got some kickback from some people as well. How does Pope Francis view this, and how should we look at it in the eyes of the church and its writings?
Yeah, I think it's important to realize that this wasn't made up by Pope Francis. He's kind of reframed understanding of the environment a little, but his work is grounded very strongly in the work of John Paul II and of Benedict XVI and of a century of Catholic social teaching. So there's nothing really new here. I think what Francis has done has tried to refocus our attention, because we are, these environmental issues are becoming more and more pressing. And that there's not obvious solutions. It was really interesting listening to some of what was being talked about before I came on now, and there's a lovely quote from Benedict, and then, of course, the discussion of human populations. The environmentalists take, I think, short-term and really erroneous approaches to the solution. This isn't about population control. This is about virtue. It's about how we can actually do the right thing.
Yeah, no kidding. My guest today, Dr. Sam Shepherd. If you want to join us, I'll open the phones. Feel free to dial in. The number is 888-914-9149. We're taking a look at Earth Day and what your responsibility is as a citizen of this planet and as a follower of Christ to the environment. And we'll fill you in on something that Ave Maria is doing as well. There's a new program that I want to get you plugged into. I think everything has balance. Doctor, I think sometimes things can tilt in one direction or the other. For some, the care of the planet overshadows even the sanctity of human life, and it can turn into what I call eco-idolatry, where people almost worship the earth or environmentalism. And I think it's vital to care for the earth. We got to remember where we stand in the order of creation and in our priorities. But what's the right balance, in your opinion? What's the right approach to that?
Yeah, I think the starting point is to really understand that the human life is sacred. So you start with the sanctity and the uniqueness of the human person, and that immediately removes things like human population control or even massive closed areas from the list of possible options. So now instead, we need to look at ourselves and say we're grounded in this world. We're part of it. We're part of creation. We're also set apart by intellect and will and by the fact we're made in the image and likeness of God. So that gives us this kind of unique platform, not just a kind of hippie pantheistic disappearance into nature, but actually a strong foundation for action where we can act. We can act virtuously and take responsibility for this world that God's given us.
That's well said. All right, let's grab a quick call. We'll go to Eureka, California. First, if you want to join us, by the way, here's your direct line into the conversation. It's 888-914-9149. Mark, thanks for your patience. Good afternoon.
Oh, that's okay. You took my call right away, so I'm flummoxed. My point was, whenever they make a distinction between the environment and God, I think that's misleading, because surely, look, I love the environment, and the point is the those who propagate a new green deal or the climate change, they don't love God anyways. Look, we love the environment, and we've been given to caretake or have dominion over the world. We obviously look at Leviticus 25 and 26. Our effect, we're supposed to keep the Sabbath for the land. And every time I quote that to a green person, they say, "Oh, wow, that's righteous." You know, they love it. Yeah. Why don't we who believe in the Bible? Why can't we bridge that gap? There's no conflict. We're supposed to care for the environment and so forth. But it's a difference between this climate change new God.
Yeah. Well, good question, Mark. Let me jump over to Dr. Shepherd. We'll let him respond to him.
Yeah, I love that quote as well from Leviticus. I think you're exactly right. And I think in a way, maybe Catholics don't have enough confidence in the beauty of the church teaching on how we should deal with the environment. And the conversation is so dominated by environmentalist philosophies. So I constantly advocate for two different things. One is to look out at the rest of the world and say with confidence, the church really knows how to go about this. So we should have a powerful voice in this conversation. And we should be taking responsibility. And I think there's a kind of other side to that as well, which is to look inward towards those in the church who are not yet feeling empowered or aware of this issue and say to them, yeah, we have to do this. We have a responsibility here. So both directions, I think, are important. Yeah. And I really like that. Yeah.
Thank you for your call. Good call. I had to take a short pause, doctor. Stay with me. Come back. John and Oak Brook, you're on deck. We'll take all your calls. Only a few minutes left as we're taking a look today at Earth Day and perhaps having a proper Catholic perspective on the environment and what our role as stewards of this great gift of God is. You can get in. The number's 888-914-9149. Maybe you're frustrated. Maybe you're confused over an issue. Maybe you've been part of that movement and you've had an epiphany. Feel free to pull up a chair. Again, 888-914-9149. We're back with more right after this.
The Drew Mariotti Show on Relevant Radio. You'll get some real Catholic answers right here.
Prayerfully consider a career where you can blend your faith and profession. Catholic Order of Foresters, our sponsor, is hiring agents in your market now. Go to relevantradio.com/forester. That's relevantradio.com/forester. And Illinois Life Insurance Society, not licensed in all states.
The Drew Mariotti Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, thanks for joining me. It's good to be with you today. Can I say Happy Earth Day? Should we say that or not? I think we are called to be good stewards of the environment. I think the Catholic Church should be the tip of the spear on that. It should end up leading that cause. And unfortunately, well, a little history, 1970, this day came into existence. All right, so we're talking about 54 years, April 22nd. It's a global event now. My concern, the reason I really want to dive into this, because it can go too far. A lot of people have turned Earth Day into something more than just environmental awareness. There's a danger of it becoming a kind of a religion, maybe an idol itself. You know, I like to call it eco-idolatry. Where the vital, where it's vital to care for the environment, but not worship it, right? And unfortunately, people have gone, I think, a little too far. They've gone from focused on saving the planet to forget the whose planet it is in the first place, right? Catholic Church has long held a very rich tradition of teaching about the role of being a steward of God's creation. And if you have the catechism, you can go to catechism entry number 340 there, and it reminds you, it reminds me that God entrusted the care of the earth to humanity, that we're called to use creation wisely and to respect it. Pope Francis, as we were just talking about a moment ago in his encyclical Laudato Si, he says that the universe unfolds in God's word. It comes into existence. It reaches its perfection through the love of the Creator. So the environment isn't just some collection of resources, but it is a gift from God, and we need to balance the two of those. I've invited today Dr. Sam Shepherd to join me. I was talking to him during the break, and I found out, I was talking about those of you who may have had a conversion from being, I don't know, a hippie or a radical environmentalist. And he said to me, Drew, I was one of those. Doctor, you must have a great story. Fill me a little bit on your background and what brought you out of, I guess, that worldview to where you are today, where you're setting up minors in good stewardship.
Yeah, well, everyone's got a good story, haven't they? Yeah, I was raised on the Isle of Skye, which is a very small and remote island in the northwest of Scotland. And I left there when I was 17, moved to London for the bright lights, and then spent a few years doing the kind of wandering barefoot around India type of thing, total hippiedom with all the goods and bads that goes with that. And I remember I was really focused on the environment during that time, but in a slightly despairing type of way, because there didn't seem to be any sort of transcendent purpose or hope in this. And it all gets tangled up, doesn't it, from the environmentalist perspective with pantheism and these other completely wrong understandings of what it is to be human, what the world is. And then when I was 23, actually, I ended up in the west of Ireland. I was surfing, hanging out, and I met a girl, of course, inevitably, Anna. We're married 25 years this year. And she was, first of all, Catholic, and secondly, her dad and two of her brothers were commercial fishermen. So I ended up staying there and fishing off the west of Ireland with them for a while. And then when the weather was bad, I'd go to the local parish priest into his little house and, have my RCIA instruction, and I was received into the church that Easter, basically. And since then, I spent the last 20, 25 years working in research science in areas of sustainability science and fishing and hunting systems, that sort of thing. So I kind of was Catholicized with regard to my previous understanding of the natural environment. And it's made it so much more wonderful, so much more hopeful, and so much more actually robustly intellectually structured as well. Mm. The church, as usual, really knows what she's talking about with this stuff.
It surely does. Let's grab a quick call or two for you here. John's in Oak Brook, Illinois. John, good afternoon. You're on with Dr. Shepherd.
Hi. Hi there. Hi. Yes. I wanted to share an experience that was a conversion experience for me, but in a little different direction. About 14 years ago, I was diagnosed with cancer. Mm. Nobody knew what I got it. I was a very young man. I wasn't supposed to have this type of cancer. 2 years later, turns out that for years, a local facility that was sterilizing surgical equipment was polluting the environment and creating a cancer hotspot.
Oh.
Lots of people got cancer from that. Now, let's look at some other stories, like Love Canal, like the Aaron Brockovich story,
sure.
Like the story behind a civil case. It goes on and on. The fact we had polluted we had lead in gasoline way longer than we needed to. Now, this stewardship mentality is good. In the end, we need to realize we depend on Earth, not the other way around. Your friend here, your guest, was working with fishermen. But challenge him. How many fish needed to be pulled out of that water? Zero fish needed to be pulled out of the water. It's the people who needed the fish. It's like no tree needs to be cut down. You need the wood. You need to think of it like we're living on a lifeboat, and you need to think of it like an airplane.
All right, John, thanks. Let me hold you on that because I got a minute or two left. I want to grab a few other calls. Doctor, I'll let you respond to him as well. And I know that you are doing something about that. You also are creating a program to help teach others about environmental stewardship, to John's point.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I think it's useful just quickly to mention the fishing thing. God has given us responsibility for caring for creation, and he's made things so that they renew themselves, so they grow, so we can fish and we can deal with the goods of nature sustainably. So when we take something from nature and we can do so in a way that is actually fruitful and good all round. And regarding stewardship more broadly, yes, at Ave Maria University, we've just established this new minor program in agriculture and Catholic environmental stewardship. So students here will learn some theology, they'll learn some natural science, they'll do a couple of business courses, small enterprise and that sort of thing. And then above all, we're starting a farm here where the students will be able to have quite a lot of time doing practical activities outside, growing and composting and harvesting and maybe selling things at the local farmers market and that kind of activity.
That sounds good. All right. Teresa's in Covina, California, Southern California. Hi, Teresa.
Hi. Blessings to both of you in Relevant Radio. Okay. Thanks. In 73, I was a re-entry student at our local college, and our mountains out here were so filled with smog, I had trouble climbing the hill to the college. Well, thank God, the environment is much better today. I was president of the Environmental Action Group, so I was really active. Today, in my elder years, I take a shower with a baby's tub and catch the water and flush my toilet. Little stuff.
Yeah.
I've gotten rid of all my fluffy towels, and I wash them outside and hang them in the air, which is very, very healthy. I'll tell you what, I think we need to get rid of the FDA or clean the swamp.
Teresa, thank you. I got to hold you right there because I only have about a minute left. I'm grateful for your contribution. Doctor, I'm going to give you the last minute, final thoughts, if you could.
Yeah, I think that's a wonderful comment there. I think it's very easy to get to feel completely hopeless about the environment, but there's some very tangible examples of how we made a huge positive difference since the 70s with legislation and cleaning up the air and doing much better with our use of fisheries and other natural resources. We can do it, and the Catholic Church has a wonderful framework for doing that. That's what we're trying to advance here and teach young people at Ave Maria University.
And what's the best way to connect, Doc, to you if they want to learn more?
Yeah, so you can go on the Ave Maria University website where we have a page which gives some information on the new minor and which enables you to contact either me or the registration department here if you're interested. Great.
Hey, Doctor, thank you so much for your time. Keep up your good work, okay? I wish you the best for your new program.
Thank you very much. It's lovely to talk to you.
You can check out avemaria.edu, avemaria.edu. And if you have an interest in that field, definitely check it out. That's an excellent institution. It really is. One of the better ones. When we come back, you're going to hear an amazing story. I received an email from a listener whose daughter misses her mom. She died a year ago. So she's going to go to a medium to conjure her mother to be able to speak to her mother who passed away because she misses her. I'm afraid that won't be her mother. But we'll talk about it when I return.